Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
To boldly go where no show has gone before. Sci-fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter and you're listening to Sci-fi and Scream on 94.9.
And this is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Now, another good show. Welcome, Mitch, as well.
Hello, Sonia.
What's happening tonight? A lot of stuff. We've got Bryony from Tasmania. We've got an interview with her, and she's going through her selection, Bryony Kidd, of some of the films that she reviewed, saw and reviewed for the Melbourne International Film Festival. Some horror and sci-fi in there.
And Bryony's been in before. She's from Tasmania.
Been.
She's really great. She's a really great person. I really like Bryony. And we also have Bobcat Goldthwaite, who is the director of God Bless America, a really great kind of, would you say horror movie? I wouldn't say horror.
It's not horror. It's more sort of gorish.
Yeah, gory.
Bad taste. Yeah, almost B-grade, but in high-definition camera. It's very well made, and anyway, we can chat a bit about that later. We'll be talking to Bob Cat himself, the very man people might have remembered from Police Academy movies, and he's also very famous and popular as a stand-up comedian in the US of A. So God Bless America is at the Melbourne International Film Festival as well. So chatting about that. We've also got an interview with Richard Gray. Now, he's an Aussie based in Los Angeles. He's a filmmaker, and he's made his first kind of genre film. It's a supernatural thriller set in some cave networks underneath Mount St. Helens in Washington State in the US. And the movie's called Mind Games, and that too will be screening as a premiere in Australia here in Melbourne at the MIFF.
I think we should just go straight into this first part of Bryony's interview.
Let's do it. This is Sci-Fi and Scream.
In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. This evening we will be talking to someone who is an expert on the matters of horror genre, pretty much looking at a few or a handful of films that are on at the Melbourne International Film Festival this year, 2012. And these are films that, by all descriptions, are supposed to be genre, supposed to be horror, spooky, supernatural tales. We're going to find out, and to help us along with that, we have in the studio with us Bryony Kidd. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Hi. It's great to be here again.
Now, tell us a bit about, before we get into the movies of this year's MIFF, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm a filmmaker. I have only sort of recently started making what you might call horror films. I made a short film called The Room at the Top of the Stairs, which was really a gothic melodrama, but it was kind of embraced by a lot of horror film festivals, which was fantastic. Earlier this year, a friend and I set up a horror film festival in Hobart, where I live, called The Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival. It focuses on horror by women, so that gives it a bit of point of difference, and it was a pretty successful event, so we're going to be doing it again early in 2013.
Have you got dates sorted for that yet, or is it still a bit early?
Probably going to be just this first week of March, but yeah, it's not quite confirmed yet.
Apart from all that amazing work and effort that you put into, you know, making your own films and raising the awareness, is one of the other things that you do, you have got a Facebook public page. Can you tell us about that?
For the festival, yeah. Basically, just because I see interesting things all the time that have to do with female filmmakers who are making horror, and not just female filmmakers, also just anything interesting really in the genre. Definitely Australian filmmakers we like to support. So it's sort of just a way of keeping in touch with people and keeping the interest going, I guess. But I just find that there's so many great films out there that people may not have heard of, so it's nice to be able to bring a bit of attention to things.
Yeah, particularly filmmakers who are female, women filmmakers.
Yeah, it's not obvious to people that there are women filmmakers making horror, I guess, so we're just trying to educate a little bit and say, well, they are out there, and some of them are really making amazing stuff, so you should look for them.
Well, we'll get your website and all those details a bit later, but firstly, let's look at what's provided for people who do like horror, perhaps some sci-fi as well. What's available for the Melbourne International Film Festival, what they have on offer? You've seen a few now.
I've seen a few, and it sort of makes it easy in a way to choose your films from the festival if you're sort of specialising in something. So there's not a vast array that in the programme that you would call horror, but there definitely are a few really notable ones. It's been quite exciting to see what's up for grabs and going to different screenings and seeing the same people at all of them, really.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we're looking at this particular segment, it's only been the last two, maybe three Melbourne International Film Festivals where they're actually trying to look at least catering to horror fans and filmmakers, and it's called Night Shift. That's the programme segment, they call it. It's called For Those Who Prefer Their Films Blood-Curdling or Mind-Frying, and the latest in gore, fear, trash, dystopian visions and black comedy. They say get your fright on. Let's have a look at the programme and the ones specifically that you've already seen. Forget my pronunciation of French, but Carré Blanc?
Yeah, Carré Blanc, right. I think that's right. I think this is just an amazing film, really, really beautiful. I was sort of feeling a bit ignorant that I didn't know anything about the filmmaker, but then I realised it was his debut feature.
Right.
It basically is a dystopian sci-fi world, and you find a lot of things in it that are very similar from other classics in that genre, you know, 1984 and Soylent Green and all of that kind of stuff. To some people, I've heard people talking about it saying, oh, you know, it's very nice, but it's a bit derivative. That sort of misses the point, because the idea of genre is that you are recreating something, and sometimes very, very closely to what other people have done, but you're adding your interpretation. And to me, this film is a brilliant example of that. It's the style and it's the approach that makes it so worthwhile as a film, as opposed to the broad brushstrokes kind of plot elements maybe are not that original. The way that they're presented and how it makes you feel, that is really original.
It's a French, Luxembourg and Swiss and Russian production from 2011. Jean-Baptiste Leoniti's first feature, as you said, is his debut, and recalls the bitingly literate social commentary of Albert Camus, Aldous Huxley and Franz Kafka with a little bit of Terry Gilliam. It does sound fascinating.
I would say if you're going to see it, don't really read the synopsis, because I know it's often the case that it's better if you don't read the synopsis, but I just think it's more enjoyable if you don't really know exactly what it's about.
Okay.
So you can sort of wonder as it's going, you know, where is this leading? Mm. Is this character good or bad? You know, who am I supposed to be rooting for here? I think it works much better on that level.
What parts of it make it so-called dystopical?
It's a futuristic world where individuals really don't matter at all. People can't have children very easily for some reason, so they're encouraged to procreate. Really, it's just a completely fascist society, you know, but you can obviously see parallels to our society now, because there are certain things that you're told to do that everyone just accepts as normal. But if you sort of step outside the situation and look at them, you sort of go, oh, hang on, that is really horrible what you're doing there. Yeah. And just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it right. But it's just beautiful, beautiful filmmaking. The cinematography and the acting is incredible. It has a sort of subtlety to it. Can't really recommend it strongly enough, actually.
One more session only, unfortunately, but that's Tuesday the 14th of August at 9 p.m. It's 80 minutes, so it's not terribly long.
No, it's not. That sort of makes it like a poem almost, and it's really poignant.
Bryony, cut to the chase. What would you rate? What are you going to give it out of 5?
I would give it 4.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a very good recommendation.
I'm John O'Jarrett, Geeked Out from the United States of America, sends much love to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, the best LGBTQ radio show in all of Australia.
Australian film, and it's called 100 Bloody Acres, and it's by these two blokes who are brothers, the Cairns brothers, Colin and Cameron. We've already interviewed them and played them on the show last week. I would just love to hear what you think about this local gem. What do you think?
I think it is a local gem, which is great, because, you know, you always go to an Australian film wanting it to be good, because you know how much everyone's put into it, and I went to the premiere of it as well, which was the world premiere, and had all the cast and everyone there, and the directors, obviously, and, you know, you want that event to go well. Great to be able to watch something that was really entertaining from start to finish. It's witty. It's very Australian in a really daggy way, which is quite sweet. I'd almost say that it's perhaps the comedy version of Wolf Creek, which is not really a natural idea.
It has John, is it John Jarrett?
John Jarrett does appear, yeah, in it. Yes. He does. So that's a little bit of an in-joke there. Mm-hmm. There's elements that you've seen in other films, like it's a bit reminiscent of Fargo, that kind of really black humour. Mm. There's enough there that is original and a particular tone, and the two lead actors create these really funny characters, Angus Sampson and
Damon Herriman.
Yeah, they've created a really interesting duo. They play brothers and they sort of riff off each other, which is really enjoyable to watch. I could pick small things that I probably wasn't as crazy about, but overall it's just really entertaining, and it's a good script, moves along at a really nice pace, and there's definitely some quite gory scenes that will disturb a few people.
If you like gore, you'll probably enjoy this one, I reckon.
Definitely, but you know, I'll be interested to see what sort of non-horror people make of it, because it is a really enjoyable comedy romp in a way, but then it also has some pretty full-on gore, so that could be interesting.
Look, they were fun to talk to when I spoke to them last week. What would you give this film?
I think I'd give it 3.5. It's a really solid film, really enjoyable. It's not necessarily my favourite genre, so perhaps that's why I'm not giving it 4 or higher, but I would definitely recommend it. I think it's great, and it's really promising to have a couple of new filmmakers who are making things of this calibre, I think.
And they're Melburnians too. That's all about 100 Bloody Acres from the Cairns brothers, and that's still got 2 more sessions to go at MIFF. You can certainly look up the MIFF site. It's got another session Friday the 10th, late session 11:30, and then another one on the 18th of August at 4 p.m. So it's interesting to have that in the afternoon. All right, so that gets a 3.5 from you. Cool. Next on the chopping block in order, I thought we would talk about, or you were going to talk about, VHS.
Yeah.
This is a highly anticipated film, I believe, because of the interesting mix of, I believe it's got a whole bunch of different genre sort of directors who are involved in this production, yep, including Ty West, the director and creator of The Innkeepers, which was in last year's MIFF.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and that's part 2 of an interview with Bryony Kidd, who is a horror filmmaker, a woman horror filmmaker, and also organises things to do with that in Tasmania. And she was chatting about something called VHS, which is a movie that apparently is supposed to be so terrifying it makes the audience sick, according to the Daily Mail in the UK. However, I wasn't privy to go and see it, unfortunately, but she did see it. And I know that she sort of mentions a bit later in the chat that we had that it wasn't quite as sickening and as squeamish as she'd hoped to. Now, this is a woman that loves her horror just as much as we do here on Sci-Fi and Scream.
First, I think it might just be like, maybe it was like the water in the cinema or something. Or bad
air. You mean bad aircon?
Yeah, or maybe bad aircon. Could have been anything. And then the person's taking credit for the cinema's bad OH&S.
You know, I mean, in the 50s and 60s, they used to have films where you would have certain odours would be released in the movie theatre to get a response to the film. And yeah, there's some interesting effects that people use. What was that track?
Well, the song we played before, that was Different Galaxies via Dumbfounded. And that's a YouTube artist, so it's really interesting.
And that's a good segue, I reckon.
I think so.
To one of the great news items of this week. This week has kicked off marvellously with something called Curiosity. And Curiosity is the Mars rover. It's finally landed on the planet Mars. And its descent and its live streaming of all that it's recording has been possibly one of the most fantastic things to happen this year, in any case. So NASA's pretty excited, and I don't know if you've watched any of it, any of the streaming yet, Mitch?
I haven't actually seen the streaming, but I heard them talking about it on the radio. Yeah. So I thought it was really interesting.
Lots of red rocks.
I'm so excited.
Black and white ones.
Maybe they'll find a face again.
Yeah, we won't talk about the face.
Do you remember the face?
Yes.
There's a face in there.
Not really. No.
What did it turn out to be? The face.
It turned out to be just an anomaly, certain shadows, and when the picture was taken by cameras from... satellites near Earth. It's it's scientifically explained. But yeah, the great thing about science, and this is what's wonderful about science, and where science will lead us into the future and does great things for medicine and all sorts of technology and computers and so forth, that, yeah, they've landed on Mars and we'll be able to see if there is any chance of water, or in the future if there's any chance to actually perhaps build space stations on the planet's surface. So that'll be pretty exciting.
I think it's great. And then after that they can start the underwater cities.
Well, there's no water there at all, Mitch.
Not in Australia. There's no water here either.
Well, actually, NASA has used places like Australia's deserts to test things like the rovers and
these kind of machines and wheels.
So, wow, it's very exciting. And it landed there on 10:32 p.m. on Sunday, or 1:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And curiosity. Let's hope there's no cats involved.
No cats involved.
Well, you know, curiosity killed the cat.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that for a second. Night.
Now, if you have an opinion about curiosity on the Mars surface, you can SMS us. And you can also let us know if you've seen any of the wonderful genre films or the intriguing films that are on through the Night Shift program at MIF this year, Melbourne International Film Festival. Let us know if you've seen any of them. Now, we have got an interview coming up shortly with the man himself. I believe it's Bobcat. It's a Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yes.
God bless America, indeed.
And he was the director of God Bless America, which is a very gory kind of film.
Dark comedy. Yeah. It's politically very incorrect. It combines elements of political satire with black humour. And it was written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. It stars the awesome Joel Murray, brother of guess who?
Who?
Bill Murray.
Really?
Yeah.
That's his amazing.
Bro. It's one of his bros. A slightly younger bro.
That would be good publicity as well, I think. You think?
I'm sure he's been in the shadow of his bro for some time, but he's now making this career that's really taking off, and he's also in Mad Men, which is a great AMC cable network TV show, which I quite impressed by. But I'm also really impressed by this movie and one of the actors in it, and that's Tara Lynn Barr. And she's 18 now. I think she was about 17 or 16 when they made it. And goodness me, she's one to be reckoned with, because her maturity is like, one minute she's like a 14-year-old girl, next minute she's like a 28-year-old, you know, sassy woman. It's
exactly.
Awesome.
I saw the trailer and I was like, wow, her personality flipped so fast. Because she starts off as like this teenage high school-y girl, and her attitude, her mannerisms even, all become so much more mature.
It's impressive, isn't it? So that's, I've got that interview coming up, and the director will be chatting about God Bless America.
And so it'll be really good. Mm. And that'll be coming up a little bit later in the night.
Well, after this, isn't it?
After this.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
It's Sci-Fi and Squeam, Jim, but not as we know it. On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
On Joy 94.9.
I want to welcome you to the show. It's so good of you to take some time out to talk to us, Bobcat Goldthwait. We're talking about God Bless America. This is a film. This is your film, your creation. Described as a dark comedy that combines elements of political satire and black humour. It's written and directed by yourself. Stars Joel Murray and Tara Lynn Barr. And it's going to be here at the Melbourne International Film Fest. Has already kicked off. This one will be playing Friday the 17th of August and again on Sunday the 19th of August. We're very excited. I've actually been allowed to see it. Very much enjoyed it, even though I don't know if enjoy is the right word, the politically right word. But I loved it. What can you tell us about the film and the reception you've had so far?
I like to describe it as a very violent movie about kindness.
Oh, okay.
And the reception has been different than the last two movies that I made because obviously I knew going into this that this wasn't going to be, you know, giving a Pixar movie a run for its money. it seems like people are very passionate about it one way or the other. I was ego surfing the other night online, and I went and looked at IMDb, and I started reading the comments. And I wasn't even reading the comments. I was reading the size of the comments. And to see people writing these giant manifestos, I was like, well, I clearly did touch some kind of nerve.
Clearly. I didn't doze off. I found myself riveted and really... The thing that really stands out for me, it's not actually the violence for me personally, because I watch violence all the time. I mean, that's what I love to do, because I review horror films and stuff. It's actually the characters and their motivations and how they bounced off each other. The two main ones, of course, Joel Murray and that awesome teenager girl, Tara Lynn Barr. What a find. So to me, that's the characters that really did it.
She's really great in the movie, and I love her to pieces. And it's really funny because her politics very anti-gun. It was funny when I took her out to the gun range, and she fired a gun for the first time, and then she turned and looked at me like this maniac kind of smile, and it was like that scene in the producers, the original producers. I was like, I found my Hitler. Well, this clearly is the girl for the job. You know, if I heard myself now, the way I talk in an interview, I think the younger version of me would punch me in the throat. Subtext and things like that.
Oh, and memes and tropes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny world, really, because I think it was the first couple of scenes when Frank Murdoch goes into his job, his office job, and we've all been there. A lot of us have been there and still go there to those office jobs and the little cubicles. And he does this amazing tirade or diatribe about how he doesn't like reality TV and all the things that is wrong with popular culture, I guess you'd call it, in the US. But it's right across everywhere in the world now, I reckon. Did you think that you were going to sort of, I don't know, isolate people by having right at the beginning of the movie such a lot of information or that with that speech?
Well, I tell you what, I kind of know that, you know, I don't even know why I wrote it, but it was, I didn't know how it was going to play, you know, and I wasn't afraid of isolating people, but I didn't think people were going to react to it in a positive way. I just thought they would take in the information. And then the first time I got to see it with a crowd was at the Toronto Film Festival at Midnight Madness. It was like 1,400 people, and they started applauding Frank when he was ranting about what was wrong.
Yeah.
And both Joel and I hadn't seen the movie with an audience yet, and we just looked at each other. I got kind of choked up, and Joel, I could see his chest inflate in the theater.
Thinking about him as an actor, how did you decide to pick Joel Murray as Frank Murdoch? Was that hard to put him in that role? Was it hard to find that person?
Joel and I had done a movie, I don't know if it played in Australia, but it was a movie called One Crazy Summer. And it was an 80s teen comedy, and that's how we met. We were both in our early 20s. We'd kept in touch and were friends, and then I had back surgery, and Joel is in the television show Mad Men, which I hadn't watched. I sat there and watched Mad Men. So, you know, my wife came in while it was playing, and she said, "You should have Joel play Frank." It was the most profound idea I'd ever heard. I was like, yeah, he's amazing. And then he called his brother Bill, and he said, "Do you have any pointers? I'm starring in this movie." And then by the time Bill called him back, it was 3 weeks later, and we had wrapped the movie.
It's great to know that Bill Murray is your brother. You know, it's funny, I was watching it last night and I actually got nostalgic for, believe it or not, feeling like it was a bit like Lost in Translation.
Oh, yeah, it is Lost in Translation with a gun. It's pretty, besides the May-December weird tension.
I just love those two together and I wanted more of them. How did they respond to each other? Did they get along okay? Or
I don't really have a big rehearsal. Actors who are supposed to get along, I like to have them spend time with each other. So it's more about going to dinner and goofing around.
Now a question, because we're an LGBTIQ station. One of the questions I had was, I found it really interesting and good, actually, really good. Even with all the speeches that Joel makes and especially young Roxy Harmon, there's support for same-sex marriage in there. So, you know, you're sort of like ticking the boxes for all the things that we do dislike. We do get sick of the constant charade, I guess, of reality shows, fake people.
Well, you know, the movie isn't, you know, for me, the big thing of the movie is that it is about, now, I don't want to have like a list of things that if we got rid of everything would be wonderful. I'm really interested in why do we have this huge appetite for these distractions? And I wanted to drive home the fact that even Frank and Roxy are guilty of these things. In real life, you know, as my wife and I sit on our high horses, we're certainly guilty of.
Going over some of the scenes that do have a bit of gore in there. And then there's the knife scene, which was a great surprise and was quite Scream-like, you know, reminded me a little bit of a Wes Craven moment and blood all over her face. It was a lovely moment.
You know, in a movie, when people are murdering people, it just goes off smoothly and perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the reality of it is, if you made a decision to do it, you know, it wouldn't go as in your mind. You know, we use the same blood mortar in that scene as they used in Pulp Fiction from the car scene. Because I just finished the movie 2 days ago, which the best way to describe it would be mumble gore.
I was just wondering, are you coming over for any of the sessions here in Melbourne?
Oh yes, I'm coming to the festival.
Fantastic.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to do something face-to-face. I'm so excited to come. And Sci-Fi, we enjoy 94.9.
Yeah, can you do one of your awesome voices? You get it all the time, I'm sure.
Hi, right, this is Bobcat Goldthwait, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream Joy 94.9. I'm not really there, actually. I'm sleeping in Los Angeles.
Cool. Thank you so much for that.
Okay, well, hopefully I'll meet you when I come down.
Congratulations for God Bless America. It's all the things I love about your country. I love your violent films. I just love them when they're done well. And this one is more than that. It's political. It's smart. It's got all the tropes and the memes. I love it. It's fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to us, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Are you afraid of the dark? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Now, coming up, we have got more interviews. It is with one of the directors of a film that's premiering here at Melbourne International Film Festival, and that's next week from the 16th and the 17th of August. It's called Mind Games, described as Deliverance meets Memento, and the man's name is Richard Gray. All right, and after that, we'll be talking again with Bryony Kidd from A Stranger With My Face. And, she's talking again about a film called Room 237. So more reviews on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Richard Gray, welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thanks for having me.
Your film Mind Games has been described as, and this is on the Melbourne International Film Festival site, as Deliverance meets Memento.
I'm not sure who wrote that. That's pretty lofty expectations, but it's certainly got elements of both of those films, but it's not really like either of them exactly. It's its own thing, and it's a bit of a slow burn thriller with supernatural elements. We only just finished the film.
So Richard, you're an Australian by origin, and it's an interesting situation where you have actually made, your previous film was Summer Coda from 2010, which starred the amazing Alex Dimitriadis and Rachel Taylor. This film, Mind Games, seems to be quite a departure. Why that leap? Why this sort of genre film? What made you want to do something like Mind Games? And of course, what is it about?
Mind Games is very different to Summer Coda, which is a romantic drama, but you know, very often when you're young, the first story you write is something that you know really a lot about. And Summer Coda was based on the way my parents met each other, and was set up in Mildura, which is a place that I love. But I'm a genre. Mind Games is a slow burn thriller with supernatural element. It's not a gore film. There's not a lot of kills, but it's just twisty thriller that we shot in Washington, and it's about a group of kids that on vacation, which is quite cliche, but then they encounter an aurora borealis, which I have problems pronouncing, but Northern Light. And what they stumbled upon is a Bermuda Triangle type vortex system, a giant mine system. And so it's kind of a bit of a haunted house story,
but okay.
takes place out of mind.
Right, look, that's intriguing. It's nothing like The Descent, is it? You know, Descent, this franchise films.
No, The Descent is far too scary for me. No, it's more high concept. And, you know, what these characters cover down the mind is something that is certainly scary, but it's more kind of makes you think than heads getting blown off by or eaten by an alien-type character. But it was an amazing dream to shoot. It's my first film shot in the U.S., and we shot the mine sequences in the lava tube that sit under Mount St. Helens, the volcano in Washington. And it was just a tremendous place to shoot in these lava tubes.
Yeah, Mount St. Helens, the very infamous volcano that erupted quite a number of years ago now, a couple of decades now, or three even. So it's not a disaster movie. It's there's time travels involved without, you know, giving away too much of the plot. What inspired you to put something like that into the storyline?
Well, the original screenplay was written by a Melbourne writer named Ross McQueen. And I had read this a number of years ago, but it was not set in the mine and was a little bit different. It was more of a haunted house film, and I was looking for something original, I guess, and having seen the Chile mining disaster and our own Tasmanian mining disaster, I thought a working mine, not a cave, would be a really interesting place to haunt a movie.
Yes.
So that's where that came from. And so basically these kids arrive at this amazing holiday vacation house that they think that it is the place that they're meant to be meeting their friends, but they're actually trapped in like a cycle. And so that's where the Bermuda Triangle and haunting of the mind sort of comes into it.
Again, why did you want to do this kind of genre? Was there anything that you were influenced by in the last few years? And you thought, yeah, I want to do a...
Certainly, yeah.
A thriller or horror film in this way.
Genuine gore and horror doesn't really float my boat, although it's not what I run out to the cinema for. So I was like, could I create something commercial that was a little bit smarter? So it wasn't just, you know, gory violence or high-level, high-concept kills. It was a little bit more like a thriller deliverance. I wanted to create a Lord of the Flies feel,
okay.
Where these friends start imploding on each other. So it was me trying to do something smart.
It certainly sounds like you've done that there. And you've still got the tropes of young people inside an environment or at an environment that is foreign or different to them and outside of that, you know, and how the characters just play off each other. I mean, it sounds a little bit like The Cabin in the Woods mixed with perhaps The Evil Dead franchise. Yeah, you've got some of the tropes in there. Was that deliberate?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely wanted to work within the confines of the genre, and we're actually shooting at a very similar time to Cabin in the Woods, so
okay.
It was really interesting timing. Although the film's completely different, you know, whenever you get a Cabin in the Woods and there's been a million of the film, there's so many of them.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Richard Gray, and talking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream about your awesome new film, Mind Games. It sounds intriguing, and congratulations on getting that played here at the Melbourne International Film Festival in Australia.
Thanks very much. It was awesome to talk to you.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
Okay, the next film that we're going to look at is something called Room 237. Now, it wasn't in the Night Shift program, this is curious, because it's about The Shining, but it's a documentary. So does that mean documentaries don't belong in Night Shift? Let's see what Bryony thinks. Can you tell us about Room 237?
Nearly missed out on this one too, because I didn't know about it initially. It's basically a documentary about The Shining, but it's about people's interpretation of The Shining. So the filmmaker, who's a guy called Rodney Asher, has found, I think it's about five or six different people who have a unique kind of really strongly held belief of what the film The Shining is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost like a theory that they can sort of prove with evidence and details in the films that they've noticed. So he speaks to each of them, but he does it in a really interesting way because you just hear their voiceover, don't actually see them. And as they're talking about their ideas about the film, you see not only shots from The Shining with, you know, footage slowed down and zoomed in to take note of particular details, but you also see shots from other films just sort of illustrating what they're saying in their interview, which is a really interesting technique, I think. For instance, at one point somebody says, you know, that they came out of The Shining and they were very fed up or something, and it cuts to that shot of Tom Cruise in Eyes Eyes Wide Shut, you know, that famous shot where he's sort of walking down the street and he kind of claps to himself in frustration. So it'll sort of cut to that. And it sounds a bit cheesy when you put it like that, but it's actually a really artfully made documentary, quite cleverly edited. And there's music throughout as well, sort of almost a 70s rock kind of score. So it's quite unusual in the way that it's put together, and I think really entertaining, actually.
For people who haven't seen The Shining, well, seriously, it's strange that it didn't get put in the night shift in that segment. I'm just thinking, because I'm kind of jealous, I missed it. Did it get a lot of response from the audience? What was that like?
Yeah, it did, I think. And I suppose maybe it didn't go into that segment because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't create an atmosphere of fear or unease necessarily, because it's really quite an academic dissection of ideas and filmmaking, but not academic in a boring way. I think it's really, really interesting. Unfortunately, the session that I went to was slightly marred by issues with the Blu-ray that they had. So there was a bit of stopping and starting, and the ending of the film got mangled a little bit. That was unfortunate because it's a film that really builds up this almost hypnotic rhythm. And I think it's sort of like an art film in a way, but it's an essay and it's this accumulation of ideas and detail. So it was a bit upsetting to be sort of jolted out of that right at the end. I'll definitely be getting hold of this film when it comes out on DVD or whatever to have another look at it.
Interesting. It's a 2012 film, and I believe it's had some pretty good ratings. Where would you rate it out of 4 out of 5?
I think a 3.5.
3.5, okay.
For what it is, it's an examination of filmmaking and philosophy, and to some extent it's an examination of very eccentric people who you might want to laugh at, but I didn't laugh at them because I thought a lot of what they were saying was really imaginative. And, you know, someone had an interpretation of the film that was all around the Holocaust, and he was convinced that that's what the film is about. And you can find all these references that prove that theory. And I don't think that he's a nut. I mean, those things are in the film. So maybe Kubrick was saying that. You can't really prove that he wasn't. So yeah, it raises some really interesting questions, I think.
I love the poster. I'm looking at the poster. I think it's amazing. It's probably, if people know The Shining well, they'll understand the incredible sets and production and design of The Shining. It was something that always impressed me. And you've got the small child in The Shining on the carpet. It's a looking down sort of seagull eye view. It says, some movies stay with you longer and ever. And it was an official selection in the 2012 Sundance Festival this year. I think it looks pretty impressive. You can find out more about it on room237movie.wordpress.com.
There's not a lot on the internet about it, actually, for some reason.
Sad.
But it almost feels like a film that was inspired by the internet, because I think that a lot of the experts in the film may have been bloggers.
So it's directed by someone called Rodney Asher, produced by Tim Kirk, featuring interviews with people like Bill Blakemore, Jeffrey Cox, Julie Kearns, John Fell Ryan, and Jay Vedner. What are you giving this one? Well, you've given it 3.5, haven't you?
Yeah, I did.
That's cool.
Some people who love The Shining don't like it, I think, because they feel like, I don't know, it's disrespectful or something. But as a filmmaker, I think it's absolutely fascinating and really, really interesting. And I don't see why you can't love The Shining and also love this kind of dissection of it as well.
Why not? I just think, why not? The Shining is such an amazing film, and Stanley Kubrick is personally to me one of my most all-time favourite directors. Everything he put his eye on, everything he made was elegant filmmaking. I don't know, he was able to move around in many genres.
Well, one of the interpretations was that he was a super brain. I think that's what the person actually said, that he was sort of like, because he was such a genius, like IQ over 200 or whatever, he had become bored by mainstream filmmaking, which he'd completely mastered. So with this film, he was going to a different level where he was commenting on the entirety of human existence and humanity through all these coded messages. And
I don't know about you, but it sounds brilliant. Let's hope it gets a wider release after the Melbourne International Film Festival viewings. Fantastic. Well, Bryony, it's been great having you on board for this particular special on Sci-Fi and Scream, looking at just a handful of some of the movies that are on offer through Night Shift, the so-called horror genre segments of the Melbourne International Film Festival. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and that was Bryony Kidd just a few moments back. And Bryony Kidd was doing some reviews there, some cool films that are on at the Melbourne International Film Festival, including Room 237 about The Shining and what kind of messages are inside that film. Now, Bryony's part of something called Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival, and that's run by Australian filmmakers who are women, including Bryony Kidd and Rebecca Thompson, and it took place for the first time in 2012 in February of this year in Hobart, Tasmania. And they will return in early 2013 with dates to be announced, and it will be deriving... It derives its name from the young adult novel by Lois Duncan, and it explores themes of the shadow self, tapping into archetypes like the evil twin and the mad woman in the attic. Sounds like me. Now, we'll be going there in 2013, Mitch and I, won't we?
Woo woo, you know it.
So there'll be more of Bryony to come, more women in horror, and various other topics we'll be covering in the future. And of course, next week, what is happening? Well, we've got two more interviews actually coming up next week. One of them is with Glenn Triggs, who's a Melbourneian. He's a Melbourneian genre filmmaker, and he's made a sci-fi, time-travelling, really amazing film called 41. Yes, that is the name. He's returned from Las Vegas. It's a film festival over there, and he's been doing the rounds, as you do with independent genre films, trying to find the market. So we'll be chatting to him about his experience and what's been happening, so that's pretty awesome. And we also have an interview with one of the filmmakers of a movie about indie games called... Indie Game, the movie. And that's going to be at Acme very soon. So lots of stuff coming up for Sci-Fi and Squeam next week on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening, guys.
It's Sci-Fi and Squeam, Jim, but not as we know it.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.